Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is your own Sister C, Charlotte Farrell, here at the place you know to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Bernal Beach, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. We have had such a good time this month celebrating International Poetry Month. We have a special guest this morning who's James Witwicky, the real, only James Witwicky. We are going to have another guest as well from Megaphone. Megaphone, we've talked about, it is a cooperative economics type of business. It is unique in that it allows, it's a micro business, it allows people who may not have had any business training, who may have been felt desperate and left out in the world, to come in, have a systemized way of learning to be salespeople, and also having their poetry, their stories, and their photography. We'll give a little bit of a teaser this morning to the preview of Hope in Shadows, a publication that's going to be coming out, and some awards that are going to be given at the beginning of May. Our other guest is Bianca. Bianca is one of the staff members at Megaphone, one of those people who energetically, lovingly helps plan events and helps people who have become salespeople feel nurtured and involved, welcomed. So without further ado, I'm going to let James start and we will go from there. Oh, before that, my grandmother, I found an envelope that my grandmother wrote sending a letter to her mother, and she said, "Lord, this child talks so much." So that would be me. But I want to acknowledge that our work takes place on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. We also endeavor to involve people from Indigenous nations in our work here at CJSF and encourage others to do likewise. So now, James.
What would you like me to say?
Oh, you could introduce yourself and your work.
Okay, so my name is James Witwicky. I've been working with Megaphone Magazine and the Hope and Shadows Calendar Project since 2010. I actually had a couple of pictures that were very successful in the calendar in 2011 and 2012. But today we're talking about the Voices of the Street project. So since 2011, the same people that have been putting together Megaphone Magazine have published an annual literary anthology. So it's not exclusively poems, but it can also be prose pieces as well. And they also use some photographs from the Hope and Shadows project in the early days. So I've been involved in this project since 2010. In 2010, I took a picture of a picture for the Hope and Shadows project. We use those little point-and-shoot cameras. That was one of the top 40 pictures of that year. And we had a launch, and then we had an exhibit, and it was really a place to feel that people were noticing you and caring for you and supporting you. At that time, I was right in the middle of a bipolar affective disorder. I didn't receive a diagnosis until 2012. Mm-hmm. There was just tremendous support from Megaphone and Hope and Shadows. And then the folks at Megaphone, that would be Sean Condon and Kevin Hollett, also told me that they accepted poetry. So I began in 2010 submitting poetry to Megaphone Magazine, and some of those poems have been published in the Voices of the Street anthologies, which have come out every year since then.
And then again, for people who might not have heard us at the beginning of the month, tell us a little bit about the unique way that writers are involved in selling or earning an income with the publications.
Yeah, so it's there's kind of a blurred region between what is a Megaphone vendor, but the traditional vendors are people that need income, that come from low income background, that need to be supported in an activity that they can do on their own time and at their own pace. And so Megaphone has been really great over the years in maintaining a group of maybe 150 to 200 Megaphone vendors that are just basically on the streets selling the Megaphone magazine, which is $2 plus a tip if you want, the Voices of the Street Anthology, which is $10, and the Hope and Shadows, well, this year it'll be $15, and the Hope and Bianca's making faces at me, so the Hope and Shadows calendar, which is $20. So it gives, so the impetus all along has been to create quality products that the vendors can use to make income. For example, the Megaphone magazine, they buy it for 75 cents. They buy it, they pay up front, and then they sell it for $2 or $2 plus a tip, and can make a bit of a decent living, and support their income doing that. Over the years, there's been a growth in the products. The Voices of the Street. The Voices of the Street has always been really good, but the Megaphone magazine is a really good 32-page magazine. I'm also the copy editor for Megaphone magazine. We have the Shift Peer Newsroom, which is all made up of people that at one time or another have been active vendors, and now they may be making a transition to doing more literary kind of work, and we get paid for that as well. So it's just been a great program for just developing people, having people that maybe still struggling with mental illness, having them come into a comfortable space, a safe space. We have a monthly Megaphone vendor meeting, and at the beginning of that meeting there's a list of things that we're asked to do and not to do during the meeting, which has been very simple and very successful over the years.
Sounds like a dream. The kind of things that people say, somebody should have something like this, but you hear that you're actually doing it. Tell me a little bit more about the Shift.
Okay, so the Shift Newsroom was basically the brainchild. Our managing editor and project coordinator, Paula Carlson, has a background in community newspapers, and she's done amazing work over the last 30 or 40 years. And so she came up with this idea, I think it was in 2022, I'm not sure exactly, but she came up with this idea of recruiting the people that had, over the years, like a lot of us have submitted material to Megaphone magazine, it's been printed, some of us have submitted poems, but she got this idea that if she could really bring us all together in the same room, mm-hmm. That it would be a great way to have articles contributed by people that have this lived experience, that have been vendors, that live in the neighborhood, that may have struggles with their income, and it's been really successful. With a lot of us, I've had three things published, a poem and two stories. A lot of people have published a couple of times, and then around that, she builds Paula. That is builds the contributing writers. That are a small group of really excellent professional writers that are doing it full time, and so Paula recruits from them the main stories, and then around those main stories, she sets the our contributions into that. And it's like smaller, shorter. We have access to photographers, so in my last story, they sent a photographer out, and it's really just like it ends up with giving us an opportunity to have a really professional. And impactful contribution that also reflects what's going on in the community.
Yes. Bianca, tell us about how you're involved with both. You're involved with both Megaphone and the newsroom.
So I do the fundraising and communications, mm-hmm. And James is correct, and Paula came up with the newsroom idea in 2022, and it came to fruition in 2023. And so my role is to push the newsroom to as large of an audience as possible, because with everything happening in journalism right now, it's rare to see a group of really hardworking, incredible, thoughtful, trained journalists in a room together pitching ideas and then going through with them, creating timelines as to when they're going to be published, who they need to interview, what needs to happen, and making sure simultaneously that everybody is paid an industry standard payment for their work. And so I support Paula in kind of outsourcing and showing what the newsroom does. So whether that's through campaigns, as our previous winter campaign actually was all about fundraising for the newsroom to ensure those payments to our writers and our editor. But yeah, I also really just love the newsroom. Aside from my role formally in it, I think it's an incredible space, and Paula has over 30 years of experience in newsrooms. She's been a writer and an editor her whole career, and it was really important for her to emulate what an effective newsroom is, and they do it. I mean, I love sitting in on the newsroom. I love hearing their ideas, and it's incredible. Like, we'll have people go in and take photographs on their phones with people that they've interviewed, whether from Carnegie or, you know, it could be a very, some people are finding their niche of investigative journalism. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible thing to see. And people bring the photos and they bring the edits and they bring, you know, they send Paul all of their copies. And it's a joy to see such an active group of people care about their community in this way.
I think it's a joy and a hope, because I also have a degree in journalism and worked in more health publications, but also at some point in Detroit for a street paper. I was so excited when they said, there's a street paper.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because you don't hear of them. In Toronto, I did a little, it was something for people to read on the subway, and it had a little happy stomach. And while it was just common and something you could give out to people on or have people buy on the subway, it was fine. But no, I kept moving up and up and up toward the New York Times or Harvard type of newsletter, and the interest went down. So I think yours, where things are still bringing forth stories of the city and it's involving people, it gives hope, because that's the main thing people say, newsrooms are dead. Nobody, you know, newspapers are dead. People just want these video stories. But I think it's so important to have what you have captured, not only just something for writers who might have gone to journalism schools, but people who have stories in them, and people mm-hmm. who have the tenacity to follow up stories, actually working for you and being paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we actually have an agreement with Langara School of Journalism. We have a scholarship with them where we send two members of the newsroom every year to complete some courses at Langara. And so it's just nice that there's a more accessible way for people to have the experience of a post-secondary education if that's what they wish, and having this newsroom. And it's funny, Kevin Hollett was in a meeting with our staff recently, and he said, you know, it's funny, when we first started Megaphone, we were so concerned because we had 24 hours and we had all these physical newspapers, and now print is hard to find.
Yes.
And now we're still here. And it's a really unfortunate landscape, but Megaphone manages to persist for sure.
I think that's, excuse me, that's very helpful and encouraging. I want to say what you're listening to this morning. This is CJSF Radio, the Saluau Show. I'm Charlotte Farrell, Sister Seed, your host. And it's called Saluau because my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act up on what you hear. James, would you share with us some of your, I know you have some poetry to share, and I've heard that you are an impeccable.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I wanted to preface this by saying that, you know, we have a lot of people that are going to journalism school, and there's a couple of other programs where people are allowed to do some enrichment. So I came from a different kind of background, because I already got my degree in English from UBC in 1985, and then I had a complete breakdown. Within 3 years of having my degree, I was homeless and living on welfare. So when I came back to myself in the 2012 and beyond, on that, as I recovered from mental illness, this was just been a great thing for me to participate in. And I don't do a ton of writing, but I write for the Voice of the Street every year, and this is one of the pieces that we had. Our theme was bread and roses and safe supply. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know about previously the slogan, bread, give us bread and roses. Well, there was a poster that somebody had made and hung it on the fence at Oppenheimer Park, bread and roses and safe supply. And so that became the theme of this year's Voices of the Street. So this one is called Thinking of You. bread and roses and safe supply make me think of you as I ought to do. The good and the harm and the beauty too, the blood-red life sustaining you, the food and the life and the beauty too, the red, red rose of your beating heart, and the life in you and then life apart, the bad things that cause your life to fade, the toxic, the violent, the things we hate. Bread and roses and safe supply make me think of you, and I wonder why you can't have the things you need, why we can't plant a hopeful seed and stop being spectators as you bleed and your loved ones cry with a silent scream and the powerful pray and the wishful wish that things won't continue on like this. Bread and roses and safe supply make me think of you, and I wonder why the numbers need to be so high and why we don't think as we did before that prohibition just opens up death's door with you in the sights of this drug war and the worst of the worst getting rich. And why no bread, no roses, no safe supply.
That is, when you see people who give lip service to something being done, but when they talk about having a safe supply in their neighborhood, it's like, no, not my neighborhood. You know. So how do you think poetry like that might have an impact on people who are listening to council meetings or whatever, where they're making decisions about locations for safe supply?
It's funny, I was actually just discussing this with my coworker an hour ago. We at Megaphone get really, frustrated because we know the effectiveness of a safe injection site and how safe supply is. It's not even just mandatory. It has to happen. It's how we are supposed going to heal. And you know, I think there's so much misinformation and there's so much stigma with safe supply in general. A common one I see is people really feel like safe injection sites provide drug users with drugs, which is not how they operate at all. And so when I hear poetry like this and we publish it and we're printing over 2,000 copies this year, it gives me a real sense of hope that people will read it and people will feel it, and maybe it will be that push that makes them look into what is actually happening, why do these operate the way they do, what are the actual statistics. I have to hope when I hear poetry like that that people will read it and have a keen need to understand where it comes from and why it's so important.
Aside from encounters with vendors to buy the book, are there any places where you have spoken poetry, you have meetings or things where the public can hear the poetry?
Well, yeah, we do have a launch every year, and we do that at SFU Woodward. Mm-hmm. And so there will be a launch, I think it's the 17th.
It is the 17th of May from 6 to 8 p.m. At 149 West Hastings, and it's at the World Center for the Arts building at SFU. Tickets are $12. You can find them anywhere you can find Megaphone online. We have a launch. We'll have 8 writers reading their work, and then we actually have 2 peer photographers who did all the photography for Voices of the Street this year, and they will also be discussing in a panel type setting what that process was like for them. But we also actually participate in Heart of the City Festival, and if you don't know what Heart of the City Festival is, listeners, it is an annual festival that takes place primarily in the downtown east side, if not all in the downtown east side. And most events are free and are based in the arts. Anything that's been published or painted or created, there's usually documentaries, or for us, we have a poetry reading, and it's more poetry from Voices of the Street.
Okay. Now, Peggy, just got her pin.
Okay.
So I want you to say again the event that's happening, date in May, and then also your website, where people could go to the website to get more information.
Yeah, our website. So it's the event is May 17th, Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. at 149 West Hastings, the World Center for the Arts building at SFU Woodwards. And our website, actually, we just completely redid it. It's megaphonemagazine.com.
What's spelled that?
It's M-E-G-A-P-H-O-N-E. How do you spell magazine?
M-A-G-A-Z-I-N-E.com.
Beautiful.
Okay.
I will make a codicil that they, over the years, Megaphone has not put a lot of the literary material on the website because we're encouraging people to find a vendor.
Right.
So that's one thing. It's not, you don't have everything out there like you would expect to find on a newspaper.
Yes, we do. So the big change in the website actually was we put our newsroom on the website. And so what that means is articles that have been published for up to 4 months prior. So you would not read any articles that have been published in the last 4 months, because that way it still promotes sales for vendors. Mm-hmm. If they want to sell recent back issues, we have a 3 month, I don't want to say rule, but we keep 3 months worth of back issues for vendors to keep selling. So once those 3 months are up, we're going to every now and then throw some really interesting articles from the peer newsroom. And again, that's just to make it even more accessible for people who may not live here, may not be able to find a vendor. So our website is very exciting. And you can actually also find us on Instagram at Megaphone Mag. And that also has a direct link to tickets for Voices of the Street.
Good. What is the cost for Voices? Voices of the Street is the publication.
Yes.
But the event that's happening on the 17th is free?
So the event is $12 because we are serving food as well. But we are also actually this year doing a donate a ticket option. So people, if they have the ability to pay for a community member's ticket, they can do so. And so that way we can offer free tickets to those who are facing income barriers.
Well, that's brilliant.
Thanks.
And there is an honorarium as well for the readers. So.
Mm-hmm. Readers get paid for rehearsal, event, and for a speaking workshop that we provide.
Oh yeah, and so we have access to some of the greatest poets. Fiona Tinway Lamb, R.C. Wislowski is a great friend of the spoken word, and this year Jim Sands. So these are people that are like the type of people that will put on poetry events. I was at another event at the Heart of the City Festival curated by Jim Sands about reading forbidden poetry. So we spoke for 10 minutes and then read a piece of poetry that was, in my case, it was a friend of Bianca's, a professor who had written this poem against the pipeline.
Oh, that's brilliant. It has so many of the things that people say, wouldn't it be nice if? So yes, it's happening at.
Yes, yeah.
Can people, if say someone might be new to the area or might just be new to listening to our station and hearing this broadcast, if someone wanted to connect with you, is there a way of connecting with, how would they connect with the newsroom? Let's say it's a poor person that's had this writing experience. Excuse me.
Yeah, the Megaphone has always, so I've been involved with for 14 years, Megaphone has always accepted submissions. So I met Sean Condon in the lobby upstairs today, and I used to just go in with a piece like a page torn out of your notebook there and just say, here. Hmm. And he would take it and they would keep it, and then maybe 3 months later or something, they would say, okay, James, the poem's coming out. So now Paula's a little bit more proactive than that, but a Megaphone has always accepted submissions from people in the community. And to be a vendor, they just come, well, Bianca can tell you, but they just come and on a particular day or make an appointment with Devin and do the vendor training, which is very straightforward.
Yeah, when I was listening and looking at diagrams, I said, it's like a Harvard Business School approach. But for many racialized minorities or others, the pathway is not so easy. You know, I had the experience when I first was looking for work in Toronto, and I had a lot of writing experience. I've written since I was, Lord, this child talks so much. I had written since I was a little kid because my grandmother, when she had a day that she would pull the chair up, and I knew when she pulled the chair up on that day, she was going to be writing, and she gave me little squares of paper to write something in. And then I saw in one of her letters to my mom, I sent Charlotte outside to play because she gave me so many pieces, I can't seal up the envelope. And she doesn't understand why it costs more than 2 cents. And she's bringing me some pennies to say she, maybe I could get 2 stamps. But so I really love journalism, and I did work for in Detroit, Black community newspaper, as well as Detroit Tree Fest, but there weren't opportunities. There was always some that didn't fit. When I came here in Toronto, I wrote a budget menu column, but there weren't really the welcome to write stories of the street. There have been issues that occur within Canadian society all the time, but there's an expectation. Well, you know, if you went to journalism school, here's this. You could write about nutrition, not talk about the food shortage, or not talk about some things. So I think it's great that you have an outlet where people can talk about the issues of the day, and especially speak without hitting people over the head. I'm leaning away from the mic. But I know that you are concerned at a time when there's so many angry words, sometimes people let words lead them into hitting each other, that you have been able to have an environment where very sensitive issues happening in, you know, Vancouver and Canada can be discussed without, you know, people hitting each other in the mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, too, is that something that I've been mindful of over the years, and more so as the years go by, is this great audience that Megaphone has. So maybe there's 2,000 to 4,000 people that regularly engaged with the magazine. They love it. They love engaging with the vendors. They seek vendors out. They usually have their pocket change ready, and now we have an app. But there's that community in Vancouver that is just really so receptive. And so when I'm writing, that's who I think about, who I'm writing to. And we've talked about this before, about not hitting people on the head with stuff and being gentle and being thoughtful in our discussion. And that's where we kind of position ourselves, even at the Shift or the magazine in general. And I think it is a little bit middle of the road, but it's important stuff that people, that the readers really want to dig into.
Right, yeah, the real news. Did you have another of your poems you'd like to share?
No, I don't think I did. I had this, there was a partial one, but it's not.
Oh, is the other one not there? Do you want to read the partial one?
Well, this was a part with...
I can also pull it up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see if you can pull it up. So I just wanted to say, well, we've got a minute too, and we're doing all these public service announcements.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, Megaphone is also a member of the International Network of Street Newspapers, INSP. And so we get to interact with them sometimes, and they send us material that's published in the magazine. And it's really fantastic, like people from all over the world that are doing the same kind of thing and the same kind of experience of producing a paper like this, producing products like this, which takes like a whole team to do it. The team is larger than any of the products. But it's amazing that they can keep it going. Okay, Crocuses and Grocers.
Do you want that one?
Or the other one, the waiting.
I have What Are We Waiting For?
Waiting, well. I like that one.
Okay.
So this one was kind of done. This What Are We Waiting For was kind of done in a workshop. And it was after I had met with Sarah Blythe and done an article in the magazine about Sarah Blythe and the Overdose Prevention Society. And this kind of popped up in our workshop. What are we waiting for? The list is long, but we are feeling strong. Better than the people who are dope sick or dying, and others who are left at midnight crying. We are waiting for politics to take a step aside and leave robust science to decide how we treat people and the things we provide, whether housing or healthcare or safe supply. We're waiting for common sense to prevail, for governments, media, and partial observers to act together on what we can agree is true. People are dying. The toxic drug crisis is real. It's time for sane actions to help people heal. We are waiting.
Wow. Sounds like you have some people coming forth. You could open for the second one because, as we said, you are a prolific poet. It's still International Poetry Month. And poetry, I mean, I'm glad we've been able to do a lot of special programs, but I think poetry is a way of being able to help people think and feel the issues of the day. It also, I know it as a healing form as well, of being able to bring you back to the parts of you that are hurting and then send ideas that refresh.
Yeah, I know. I have a New Living Translation Bible, and in the they have introductions to each of the books. And in the introductions to Psalms, they talk about being able to express things that can only be expressed in songs or in poetry.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to do this third one?
Okay. And I'm a great bird fan.
And you're going to have to scroll with.
Yeah. Okay. With two fingers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Crocuses and crows. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 13:12, New International Version. The crows are out in force in the downtown east side today, investigating nesting, or maybe resting at the midday. Crocuses, croci, are also reaching for the sky, a new chance to thrive, however, January has yet to pass, spring living. They say crows can recognize individual humans, something I'm convinced is true, but can they mark the people that are absent? Those we knew who did not get through, those who died before their time from accident, from overdose, from crime? And croci, heathering skyward, do they memorialize our brothers and sisters and uncles who have died from poverty and toxic drugs and suicide? The crows dressed in perpetual mourning with their mysterious calls. Is Mama Crow crowing for the humans who are gone? So much is unknown, signs we can only read in part, so hard to know the way forward. Safe supply, harm reduction, recovery beds, mental health treatment, poverty reduction, community care. We know that crows are smart. It helps them to survive. We know that crocuses don't try hard when they thrive. A word from the wise, we need to take the politics out of it. I know crows fight gulls and eagles for territory, nesting sites, and airspace, but they don't fight with each other. Croci don't compete for space. They grow where they are planted, clumping together and spreading out, just being beautiful, just surviving. Humans can learn from crows. Be smart. Take turns. Cooperate. Hang out together. There will be squabbles, but settle quickly for the common good. We can learn from croci, be beautiful in groups and individually. Reach for the same sky, the one that keeps us all alive. Be smart, be fair, be present. Don't just walk away from there. These crows and crocuses have made my day, returning to the place where they lived last year, reproducing, teaming up, showing us a way to cooperate and limit fights and agree to grow. There is so much that I can't see, so much that I don't know. I'm hoping we can cooperate to make the death rate slow.
Wow. We have here a ecology show that on some days plays bird songs. So while we just digest and think about that poem, you're going to hear a few bird sounds. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF Radio 90.1 Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. We are today looking forward to the launch of the Megaphone Annual Magazine. We'll be hearing more about that, but we just want you to bask for a few minutes in the sound of the birds and think about that thought. Crocus and crows don't fight each other. We are on the planet together.
Hi, my name is Bianca. I'm the fundraising and communications coordinator at Megaphone Magazine.
Hi, my name is James Witwicky, and I'm a member of the Shift Newsroom at Megaphone, the copy editor of Megaphone, a Megaphone vendor, and a contributor to Voices of the Street.
And I'm Charlotte Farrell, host of Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, and I'm a Megaphone today for the great things that Megaphone has in store. Tell us about the event that you have coming up. It's the annual
launch.
Yes.
So the annual launch takes place every year in May, and it's really exciting. We have usually 8 to 10 readers reading their work, and this includes a panel discussion from two peer photographers who did the photography for the Voices of the Street this year, which the theme is Bread and Roses and Safe Supply. The launch is taking place on May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. at 149 West Hastings Street. You can find tickets on our social media at Megaphone Mag. And it's a really beautiful event. It's a community-based event. If you care about literature, if you care about people, if you want to hear some really beautiful writing from local artists, we would love to see you there. And I would say I coordinate the events for Megaphone, and I actually, this is the one I haven't done yet since I started, but I know it's going to be my favorite, and I am the most excited for it. So that's what we have coming up on May 17th. But actually, the anthology itself is released to the public on May 3rd. So as of May 3rd, for $15, you can purchase the Voices of the Street 2024 edition from a local vendor, and they buy it for $5. And they sell it for $15, so you are helping the community raise their own income in a low-barrier way, and they make $10 off of every sale.
And it's beautiful. I think it's the most beautiful, unusual book I've seen because it's in full color. How many things today?
No, they're not all in full. Is it full color this year?
Most of them are, I believe, full color.
Yeah, I mean, if you have reduced color anywhere in a publication, they charge you for full color. But can you tell me a little bit about the connection between the things that you see written on one page and the photographs that you'll see on the page?
Yeah, so we conducted 4 writing workshops, and please, James, feel free to jump in here because I know you are well-versed in this, but we conducted 4 writing workshops in collaboration with OnSite, which is a detox program in the downtown east side. So we had some writing facilitators come, and this is such a popular time for Megaphone with this event coming in the publication that we had to do sign-up sheets to have the public, primarily people in the downtown east side, come to these writing workshops and work with the theme of Bread, Roses, and Safe Supply. And while that was happening, we actually had 2 peer photographers who are incredible artists, Basilia Ramirez and Eva Takakanu. And they went out with Amy Romer, who is a photojournalist. Her work's been in National Geographic, I want to say the Walrus, many other very incredible publications. And she went out with them with disposable cameras, and they went around Vancouver and they took photos of things that they felt spoke to the theme. And so the photos work in tandem with the published pieces, and our editor Paula, she combed through and picked the adjacent pieces with the photos of what would work really well hand in hand with each other. And, you know, we've got like over 30 something pieces in this anthology. It's a really thick, thoughtful poetry book. So, I mean, I'm so excited for it to come out.
It's so different because, I mean, the quality is like magazines that are far more expensive. But that I thought I had planned to read a couple of poems with last year's, and as I started to look at the pictures, I thought, how did that picture, it's so amazing that the picture communicated what the person had written in their poem or their story. It was just a labor of love. But I thought, how did I think I read, because you read one way and then you turn it and you read the other. I read all the ones on one side because it was just so engaging and fascinating to think of the connection that had to come from the heart of the photographer to connect with the book. Yeah,
I think traditionally over the years they haven't directly equated the photos. In fact, at one time they used to have vendors on the cover, but they wouldn't tell you who the vendor was. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always directly equate with, but I think now over the last few years, so that would be 22, 23, 24, Paula can take a lot of the credit for doing the photo editing and for connecting the two things thematically, because she's the one that has the final say in that. I think I've lost my telephone.
You've lost your phone?
Yeah, I was using it right before we came down to look for a playlist, but now I don't know what I did with it.
We'll find it. It'll probably be upstairs where you're sitting.
Yeah, so one of the things I like to ask people about, three P's and two C's, but we've talked about one of the P's, which is your project, but also your purpose and your passion. How do you feel that this reflects your passion about life?
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned before about my Bible, so I'm a Christian. I go to church regularly. I'm part of a church called Strathcona Vineyard Church. And so we talk a lot about social justice. And so I feel like I have a responsibility to somehow participate in social justice. But at the same time, I have a disability and I'm also not able to write full time. So Megaphone gives me the opportunity to engage with some of these subjects, like safe supply, and comment on them and maybe encourage people to think about that. So the participation with Megaphone is kind of a passion of mine because it gives me my opportunity to work part-time but to still fully participate in something without working full-time.
Without the stress of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to... I traditionally, even now, I've been in recovery for over 12 years, but I probably still would not be able to cope with, like, full-time activity. So, but in a way, the other thing is true that I have, like, I have a permanent disability that I live off of, a CPP disability. I have social housing. I have the bus pass that you get that... When you have a disability, so I mean that those things support me in my work with Megaphone. So,
and you mentioned you've heard of purpose-driven life. Do you think people? I asked somebody about purpose-driven life, and they thought, purpose. I don't know what the do you believe in a purpose-driven life, or if what are your
I've been at the same church now for I think 9 years, and I was involved on the leaders team, and I was as active as I could be, but then I also found that it was very stressful. So I think it is. I think the purpose-driven life is me wanting to know what does God expect from me. There's a quote from 1 Thessalonians 4:11 where St. Paul says that the people there should lead a quiet life and mind their own business and do the work of their hands. And so for me, the work of my hands is not cleaning my apartment, it's doing writing. So that's my purpose, is to be part of this, but also to do the writing, whatever it takes to do the writing work, And yeah, and other than that, to lead a quiet life and get along with people. I know that's sometimes antithetical to the idea of being an activist, but I'm not sure that I am an activist.
But you found a way of taking some activists. Action. You take action, but you take action in a way that doesn't have people hitting each other over the head with, people were doing this in some of the demonstrations on college campuses yesterday, hitting people over the head with placards or things, but just reaching the heart and soul of a person so that they think about the words that you said. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I think James is absolutely an activist. We have a good comedic relationship, James and I. But to be serious for a moment, it's an honor to work with James. He's a wealth of knowledge about everything, about so many comings and goings of the Downtown East Side. And I consider myself an incredibly lucky person to work with someone who's both passionate and kind and so intelligent. I thought that I was going to work in traditional publishing was my career goal, but I knew I always wanted to work in social services. And I'm feeling now in my life, now that I've been at Megaphone for almost a year, that I can only do purpose-driven work in the way of working with social services. I have family history in the Downtown East Side. My father's a recovered drug addict for over 30 years, and actually yesterday he came to the Megaphone office for the first time. Wow. And he looked at me and he thanked me for working down here. And this is purpose-driven work, and not because we're in the Downtown East Side, we're in the community. It's because the people that come in and want to participate, and the people who want to talk to us and be involved in Megaphone, is every day it's a gift. I meet new people every day who were involved in Megaphone 10 years ago, 15 years ago. People who submitted to Voices of the Street, in 2013, or come back for the first time in 11 years, and they just want to chat. And it's like this beautiful gift. And I think the passion just comes from community and caring about people, and not even the saviorness of wanting to help and do. It's just, you just care about people, and you just get to know them through their writing and conversations and their work. And I think that's what sustains it. That's what sustains Megaphone, and I think that's what sustains us as people too.
And I think, not discarding this worldwide model that you talked about, where some people want to say, oh, that won't work. You said, oh, yes, it can work. And so I think that that is a remarkable, thing in a way of looking at. Sometimes people look at, if they're only looking at a religious picture of purpose-driven life, they have a narrow view of issues like, activism or issues like caring for your neighbor as for yourself. So I think that you showed this still works, because there's so many things today. Oh, that won't work. Oh, nobody's buying vinyl music. Mm-hmm. Oh, nobody's writing articles. Mm-hmm. People aren't reading papers. Mm-hmm. But you're demonstrating and expanding, that it does work.
We're stubborn. That's what it is. We're 20 years of stubbornness now.
And that's a remarkable legacy. You look like you have a poignant thought.
There's a couple of things we haven't really touched on today. Okay. I did meet Sean Condon upstairs this afternoon. That was the founding editor of Megaphone when they switched from being Spare Change. And he used to have to go and get his mom to pick up the magazines and go around and deliver them to the various depots. So, and the other thing is, right now Sean is working with the Van City Office of Community Engagement. So the Van City Office of Community Engagement and the SFU Office of Community Engagement are instrumental in helping us to do this launch. I mean, they give us a fabulous theater. It's got wonderful sound. It's got sound technicians. It's got producers that help our producers. there's that thing that I don't know how, when it all started to come together, maybe 2016, but we've had a lot of support from the community. And a lot of various different kinds of in-kind support. And those are what help to keep this thing going, the machine, if you will, that makes Megaphone and Voice of the Street and Hope and Shadows. Like I said before, it's bigger than the vendors. It's bigger than the products that are produced. And they've been tremendously successful with doing that. And not only that, but folks like Bianca and the previous ones that were doing a similar job, they often go on to do some really amazing work afterwards. So Megaphone is also a training ground for that.
An incubator.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with James. Our community, because he's so intelligent, you see what I mean? Our community is, we can only do what we do because we have videographers and photographers and venue spaces that will donate 85% of the cost to Megaphone. And it's probably more rare than you would expect, but those that do stick with us and donate to us in that way, those in-kind donations, not just make Megaphone go round, but that's what builds community and the world. And like, if I have a joke that I always fall in love with the people we outsource, because they understand Megaphone at its core, and they're willing to sacrifice 90% of what their income would be on a project like this, because they understand that this isn't just the Vancouver's downtown east side. This is intersecting marginalizations of people that need support, and this is how they can provide that, the most firsthand that they can. So yes, Van City Office of Community Engagement, SFU office, but like BCGEU, UBC Creative Writing, QP, all of these people are doing the work of helping us. But it's like our graphic designers who give us a huge discount so we can actually make the anthology at all.
Because right, when I looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness, I know so many writing groups and clubs who could not afford to print their anthology. Mm-hmm. But, by you having this 20-year...
So this will be the 14th, I think, from 2011 the first one came out, and it didn't even have a date on it, and then 2012, and then every year since then. In 2021 we had to go a little bit underground and make poetry videos, which I always laugh about that, because of those poetry videos, like, nobody watches poetry videos unless it's spoken word, but I mean nobody watches those poetry videos. But we did have to make them because of COVID, and that was when our friend Holly Sakaki was producing those with her brother Jason Sakaki, who's an actor, they're just amazing. I mean, very much talent in putting things like that together on the spur of the moment.
It's a labor of love. It's just a whole bunch of people being really good at a lot of stuff and helping us out with it.
Right, and a model, because you've created a model that can be, by being connected worldwide, other people can see what you're doing. And when people say, what kills me is when people say the government, but the government won't take care of it, but the government is us.
Yeah.
And, being able to hear, know, and get involved in community activities are the real things that will make a difference in the world. I think you're showing that, and, people can come out on the 17th and see and celebrate what has been accomplished, and also ways that they can contribute to help, help keep it going. Mm-hmm. So there were people that I saw with it's a vest on. Mm-hmm. Some people have the vest. And I just was amazed at the interaction. It's not like when some people come up and they are aggressive with people, the politeness, the energy, the way that they engage people with the publication, that not only did that one person buy, but, a couple of other people came up. Is that something that you find people already have, or how is that a part of your program for orienting or training the sales reps?
Well, so our vendor numbers went down because of COVID. And when my coworker Devin joined Megaphone, that was, I think, his personal number one goal, was he wanted to retain new vendors. And he has. He retains, 10 or 15 new vendors every month. And these new vendors are often people who, a lot of them are returning vendors from, 2013, 2014. A lot of them are referrals from other vendors. Like, I do this as a side income, you know, you should go in and do it as well. And honestly, our coordinator, Devin, is such a personable person that these are people that he meets on the street. And he's just such a kind, warm, it's in his soul to constantly be reaching out to people. These are people that, you know, he runs into and is like, hey, do you want to join Megaphone? And I do think that everyone who comes through the door does have a kernel of optimism, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that they're not smiling or excited in some way to get started. And that's the beautiful thing about Megaphone, too, is we're right by the entrance to our building. And we you know, kind of joke that we're the almost lowest barrier space here, because as soon as you come in, you can just come in and say hi on the left. And it's true. Anyone who walks through the door and just says, what is Megaphone? You know, we're there to say, this is what it is. Do you have half an hour? We'd love to give you some free product. And then we pay them for their mentorship time. They get a mentorship with a seasoned veteran vendor, and they get paid $40, and the mentor gets paid $40. And it's just a way for people to generate income where they don't have to, you know, sign all these papers and do all these things. It's just, you know, everyone wants to make some money. And yeah, everyone who comes in is just optimistic about building community. And that's how we market it too, is do you want to build community?
Right.
Because, you know, you go to these spots, you go to your distinct spot, and slowly over time, people remember you. They recognize you. They go, you know, I think about Peter, who's been with Megaphone since 2008 or something, and he's in Kitsilano, and he thinks it's so funny how worried the community will be for him if he takes a sick day. He takes one day off and then he comes back and they go, where were you, Peter? You weren't here yesterday. Are you okay? And he was, right, you know, at his granddaughter's birthday or something. So it's just, it's on all counts. It can be a really beneficial program, and I think people see that when they come in.
Well, I would say for the building here at 312 Main, mm-hmm, CJSF, that's our downtown. We have a main broadcasting spot is Burnaby Mountain, mm-hmm, but from downtown we have an office and broadcast studio here. And my first day there, it was Stefan, yeah, at the door,
yeah,
like an ambassador.
Yeah.
And by the time you know, I met with someone at the office, I already knew about the publication, mm-hmm, and I felt welcomed. I mean, you're like ambassador. Them sitting there, it's across from your door. I didn't know where the door to Megaphone itself was for the longest, but I knew, mm-hmm, where Stefan was, and
yeah,
I could get the newspaper or get a calendar. I waited to buy my calendar for the year till I could connect with him. So I think it's just beautiful that what you express is ideals for the way this different type of business model works with people, mm-hmm, and look forward to your celebration and announcements and hearing the ways that you continue. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you, the original James Witwicky. And we'll see you again next week at 10. And you know what I say when people ask me what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time. I'm Sister C, and I'll see you again. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time. times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time.